sex itself is just a dirty act.
Welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast, where I share tangible techniques to help you embody your femininity, enhance your sex life, and elevate your relationships. I'm your host, Eleanor Hadley, sensuality coach and founder of Sensual Yoga. Now, let's unleash your inner sensualista.
Hello, and welcome to episode 54 of the Sensuality Academy podcast. So I have been speaking a lot lately about the messages that we receive about sex. So in the first module of my signature online course, Embodied, we talk through self-inquiry and deconditioning. And a major part of this is exploring the messages that we received growing up about sex, pleasure, masturbation, femininity, all of these topics that are integral to the course itself and the work that I do. And so last week, I asked my students in Embodied these questions, and we went into lots and lots of detail in our live session and within the members' site. But I thought I would bring it out to the wider audience and check in with everybody else about the messages that they received about sex growing up. And so I put up a story, a little question sticker on my Instagram, and I got so many responses from all of you sharing the really ridiculous and twisted messages that you received about sex growing up. Even to this day, all of the conditioning that we get from society that tells us that sex is wrong, that masturbation is gross, all of these different things. And I want to talk about these today because I think it's an incredibly important task and activity for us to go through and really question our conditioning. In my work, question your conditioning is essentially my mantra. I really believe that it's so important that we look back and we understand the messages and everything that comes from society around us and from our childhood, our upbringing, our parents, our teachers, all of these people that have an influence of us, how that impacts the way that we relate to ourselves, to our partners, to our pleasure moving forward in our lives now as adults. I think it's from this place, this understanding, that we can then start to peel back the layers of conditioning and get closer to our authentic selves and our authentic sexual expression that would have been there had we not had all of these layers of conditioning thrown at us over the years. And so in my work, a lot of people, they hear about sexuality and pleasure and orgasms, and they think, oh, great, I want her to just teach me how to have an orgasm. I've never had one before. Or like, oh yeah, she'll just teach me these techniques, expecting me to say, okay, this is how you do it. But without this very, very important step of self-inquiry, of checking in, what is my conditioning and what stories am I telling myself? How am I holding myself back potentially from experiencing deep pleasure? It's going to be really, really hard for us to get out of our heads and into our bodies. So first, we need to get into our heads a little bit. We need to do that task of self-inquiry. What was I told about sex from a young age? What did my teachers tell me or not tell me about sex? What media have I consumed that makes me think, oh yeah, sex is really bad, or I'm only allowed to have it when I'm married, or all of these different things? And so I'm going to go through today some of the things that you sent in on Instagram, because there were a lot of common themes, and I'm sure some of these are going to resonate with you. But my invitation for you today, as you listen to this episode and afterwards, I want you to take some time and really think about what impacted you. What messages have you received throughout your life and to this day about sexuality, about pleasure, about masturbation, about relationships, about femininity and masculinity as a construct? And how have these impacted the way that you show up in your sexual life? is there something that maybe has triggered this response of shutting down, of not allowing yourself to explore, of feeling shame after masturbation, because you have someone else's voice in the back of your head saying, oh, that's gross, that's dirty, that's wrong, I can't believe you did that. So it's a pretty uncomfortable exercise sometimes, because you can start to realize, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much I've been conditioned and I haven't been having as pleasurable sex because of this or that. But as confronting as it can be, this is also the work that helps you to break free and through those layers. I also like to sort of visualize it as like layers of an onion, or like if you're wearing a million jackets. You know that Friends episode way back when, I think Joey was wearing, I don't know, every single layer of clothing possible of Chandler's or something like that. Anyway, he's wearing like all these layers. So I want you to visualize that you've got all these layers. You've got like 10 jackets on, and all those jackets are these stories. And because you've got all these jackets on, you can't bend your elbows, you can't move properly, it's uncomfortable. I don't know if this analogy is getting a little bit away with me, but you see what I mean. We want to peel back those layers, but first we need to understand that they're there and that they do have an impact. And then we need to sort of slowly zip them off and kind of understand, okay, I don't need this anymore. This isn't serving me. It's too many jackets. I don't need them. And then throw them out. It is a process though. Like, it can sound like quite a simple thing to do, but it's probably going to bring up a lot of things for you when you're like, oh gosh, I had this message my whole life. And even maybe I've passed this message on to other people. I have a lot of parents who have done my work and say, oh my gosh, I just realized that I've had these stories that I've now passed on to my children. Or better yet, they've realized, oh gosh, that's the conditioning that I had. And it had such a negative impact on me and my sex life and my comfort in myself, that now I know what to look out for and how to avoid passing on this conditioning to my children, which I think is just a beautiful place to be in. The more that we heal and that we work on ourselves and our own sexual stories, the more that we will have an impact on other people, whether that be your partners or your children or your friends, by just being more open about sexuality in general, about pleasure and the fact that we all fucking deserve to experience pleasure. So let's get into some of the messages that you've received about sexuality growing up and even to this day, and let's break them down a little bit, shall we? So the first and the most common one that I received was, sex is simply bad, wrong, dirty, or degrading. Now, the word dirty came up a lot, so much, and I've felt this one before. When it's about sex or masturbation, I remember hearing messages like, oh, gross, or like, oh, she's so dirty for liking sex, or sex itself is just a dirty act. Masturbation, like, ew, dirty girl, stop touching yourself, things like that. And you might have received this messaging too. Now, I want to just debunk this. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm pretty certain that you don't believe sex is bad, wrong, dirty, or degrading. However, there might be some of that conditioning back in your head. And in a previous episode about aftercare, I shared that there's something called postcoital blues, where after you've experienced orgasm or sex with a partner or yourself, sometimes, and this can happen to quite a lot of people, most people will have experienced this at some point, where you are suddenly, after this, you know, blissful, pleasurable experience or this connection with yourself or another person, you can feel suddenly filled with shame. And the root of this is that we have been told time and time again that sex is shameful. How often did you hear about, you know, the slutty teenager sort of trope? Like, oh yeah, she sleeps with all these people. Or like, oh yeah, such a slut. Any woman who is seen to be exploring herself sexually, who is seen to be dating people or just openly as a sexual being is often labeled as a slut. And this is another thing that came up a lot in your answers to this question, that being slutty is a really bad thing, and that any woman who has sex outside of marriage is seen as slutty, or simply a woman who enjoys having sex is seen as slutty, and that sex itself is just dirty and wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. Sex, when we are doing it intentionally, when we have full bodily autonomy, when we are empowered, sex is so beautiful. It's such an incredible way to connect with someone, whether that's a long-term partner or not. It's a beautiful way to express your emotions, your feelings towards someone. It's incredibly good for your health, your mental health, your physical health. Orgasms are good for you. And if you notice that you have some conditioning in you that says sex is bad, sex is dirty, I really, really invite you to take some time and inquire with yourself, where did that messaging come from? And is it really true for me? Now, we may have had experiences where sex does feel bad, where it isn't pleasurable. And that comes back to us being really, really connected to our bodies and having ownership of our bodies and our pleasure, and recognizing that we do deserve pleasure. Now, a lot of women experience not much pleasure during sex, particularly penetrative sex. The majority, a vast majority of women and vulva owners don't experience orgasm through penetrative sex alone. We require clitoral stimulation, and that's just a fact. We can, of course, train our internal vaginal canal and explore different, more internal, deep orgasms, but that's a whole other topic. For a lot of women, for a lot of vulva owners, we don't have much of an experience of deep pleasure when it comes to our partnered sex. And this is because we are just not told that it's a priority, that it's important. And another message that I received from all of you about the messages that you've received is simply that women can't orgasm, or it's normal for women not to orgasm. And this is particularly through the heterosexual lens, where we're talking like straight couples, man and woman, and it's just common, but not normal. There's a very big difference between things that are common, between things that are normal. Now, it's not normal for us not to be able to orgasm, but it is very common. Our bodies are designed for pleasure, but as women, often we have a lot of barriers that kind of get in the way of us actually experiencing deep pleasure. And the way the script that we've received, that many people receive about what sex looks like and what a sexual encounter looks like, which is often just penis and vagina and like pump, 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 pump and done, it's not going to be stimulating the right areas for a woman to experience deep pleasure. It's probably not happened with a lot of foreplay. You know how I feel about the word foreplay, but a lot of other external pleasure leading up to it, enough time, enough of a buildup, enough safety and trust in the person to allow ourselves to let go. Now, of course, I could go on about this for a very, very long time, but I want to really highlight that another story that we hear from society is that it's normal for women not to enjoy sex as much. It's normal for women not to orgasm, or that women simply don't orgasm, or they can't orgasm. I can't tell you how many students and clients I've worked with that come to me and say, I think I'm just broken. I've never had an orgasm. I can't orgasm. It's too hard. Now, I really believe that everybody is capable of orgasm, but we need to work through the layers that are holding us back. Yes, there's absolutely physical stimulation that needs to happen. We can talk about energetic orgasms another time, but we do need to obviously consider the physical and the technique and the type of touch and those sort of things. But for a lot of us, we need to feel really deeply safe, and we need to trust. We need enough time and build up before it's going to feel really pleasurable. Our minds are so powerful and they can shut it down. They can go, oh, no, I'm not going to allow you to have pleasure. Nope, I don't think I'm going to let you get there. Our brains can sort of like gatekeep pleasure. If we don't feel worthy of it, if we feel like, oh no, sex is wrong, sex is bad, I shouldn't be doing this, I'm gross, I'm dirty, whatever. If we have in our head, I just can't orgasm, it's too hard. Or if we're saying to ourselves, oh my God, I need to have an orgasm. Okay, please, 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 come on. I need to show them that I am feeling pleasure. All these stories, these expectations that we put on ourselves and that others put on us, these things can stop us. And that's why I specifically don't say, here's the technique, guaranteed orgasms. No, I need you first to go through these layers and start to give yourself permission and say, actually, I am worthy of deep pleasure. It is okay and safe for me to orgasm. I trust that my body is orgasmic, and work through these layers. That way we can actually get closer and closer. It's a process. And unfortunately, I'm not going to ever give you a quick fix. It's much deeper than that because you deserve really, really deep pleasure. So that is another huge, huge message that we receive. So I want to talk about a few more of these frustrating, annoying messages that we receive growing up about sex, pleasure, masturbation. Now, another one that was a really common theme is simply that masturbation is wrong or gross or shameful. Now, how many of us had an experience when we were younger, when we first sort of discovered our genitals and we're like, oh my God, this feels so good. I'm gonna just play with this for a while. And then, you know, maybe you had an experience where someone walked into your room and you got caught, or maybe you were just in public touching your genitals as a child and you were told, ew, get your hands out of your pants, that's gross. Things like this that sent a message to your young brain, which is like a sponge, going, your body's gross, touching yourself is gross, that needs to be hidden. Don't talk about it, don't let anybody see it, or just don't do it at all. In my live session with my embodied students, we all spoke about, you know, the first time that we discovered masturbation and what we were told. And it's such a common theme, I think, for us to have to hide it away. Now, I'm not saying we should all go out there and just be like masturbating in public. That's sexual assault. But I think that there is a delicate way of broaching this topic. And for those of you with children out there, if you're a parent, you might have had this experience where you've noticed the child doing, you know, touching themselves, or maybe it's to come. And so I think a nice balance around this is to sort of recognize, yes, this is a very natural thing. I know that feels really good. Something to explore in your own time or with someone that you really care about, but not in public. We can rewrite the stories. And what often happens is if we've received messages about masturbation being wrong, gross, dirty, growing up, then we're more likely to keep it secret, to try and do it really, really fast so that we don't get caught. And what happens when we constantly do something in the same way, that becomes a habit and a pattern. And so for a lot of us, we might masturbate in exactly the same way, and we have for years since we first found our parts. And so now that's the only way that we can come. Or we might be used to doing it really quickly because we have this fear of being caught and then therefore shamed. And so we've essentially conditioned ourselves, trained ourselves to come quickly. And this is more common for penis owners, for men, right? That they've gone, oh gosh, I need to like hide this quickly, like, you know, go in the shower, go in the bathroom, whatever. And they've trained themselves to come really fast. And then, of course, when you get into a partnered sexual experience, if you've been conditioning yourself to come either quickly or in a certain way for years on end, it's no wonder that certain positions aren't going to feel as pleasurable, or you might not be able to last as long. So I want to encourage you, first of all, to recognize that masturbation is super healthy. Again, orgasms are really, really good for you. It builds self-love, this connection to your body. It's very healthy and I highly recommend it. But I also want to encourage you to think about the messages that you received growing up, whose voice might be in your head saying, "Ew, stop that, that's gross, don't touch yourself." And to try and switch up your self-pleasure, your masturbation routine. If you recognize, "I always do it this way," try something else. Maybe try a different pleasure tool, sex toy. Maybe try a different position, you know, laying on your back, on your side, standing up, different things to condition yourself in a different way. Not even condition, really, just to explore different ways of experiencing pleasure. It can be a really fun exercise. So definitely try that out. Now, another theme that came through with all of your answers to my question on my Instagram stories was this idea that men want sex all the time, but women don't like sex as much as men, that women's bodies exist purely for the sexual pleasure of men only, and that it is a woman's job to say no to sex because men will try regardless, and that somehow we owe our partners sex. Now, everybody is capable of enjoying sex. Remember, this conditioning of women being seen as nasty or dirty or slutty for liking sex is absolutely ridiculous. And it's just this awful conditioning that makes women feel like they're not allowed to feel deep pleasure and to enjoy sex. And so often we will stop ourselves from enjoying it because of that condition. Everybody here deserves deep pleasure. And everybody is capable of it. So this idea that men like sex and women don't is ridiculous. What it also does is it disempowers men. And this assumption that, oh yeah, masculinity is tied up with you must want sex all the time and men only think about sex, like that's not doing men any favors. That's really quite dehumanizing and demoralizing. Like, oh, that's all they think about. They want it all the time. No, men have fluctuations in their libido as well, just as women do. Everybody has fluctuations in their libido. There's a lot of different factors that can play into it. Our health, our diet, our sleep, our hormones, our stress levels. All of these things can play a role in how much we want sex. And so I think that what can happen is that men can be shamed for not feeling sexual because that's somehow tied up in this idea of masculinity. Again, that's bullshit. And then women can be shamed for really enjoying sex and wanting sex. These things just don't help us. Sex is a beautiful thing that we can connect on, but it's not anything that is worthy of shame, regardless of where you are on the spectrum and where your libido is at and how you feel towards sex on any given day. Now, this idea as well, and this is through a very heterosexual lens that these answers came through, but this idea that women's bodies exist for the pleasure of men only, again, a huge message that we've received and that a lot of women have internalized and men have internalized. This is why you see bisexual women and lesbian women being sexualized simply because they're having sex with women. And men often will invalidate, or society will invalidate, women who have sex with women because there is this sense of, oh, well, there's not a man involved. It's not for me. I don't understand. Women's bodies are capable of experiencing deep pleasure, and that's for them and for them only, and they can choose who to share it with, but it's not purely for men. And I know that most of you listening will be like, yeah, of course. And a lot of these things sound like, obviously, we know that for sure, we know that, but the messaging that we've often received is the opposite. And so it's important to recognize, is there a part of me that believes that? Is there part of me that has suppressed some of my sexuality because I believe that, for example, partners owe each other sex and that I have to perform my femininity, my sexuality, that I have to turn it on because it's expected of me? Another really common theme was this idea of sex being for married couples only, and further to that, that it's only for reproduction and not for pleasure. Now, of course, this construct comes from the church and from religions that sort of see sex as taking you further away from God, and that it only has one function, and that is to create more life, which of course is just really not allowing us to utilize our bodies and the pleasure potential that they have in just everyday life. It also kind of ties into this idea of people having sex, particularly women having sex outside of marriage, being seen as sluts and wrong and dirty and all of those things. Something that came up for us in these question and answers was that virginity is a gift for your husband. And as soon as I read that one, I was like, oh, yuck. Virginity as a gift, that just seems so, that seems wrong and gross to me. The idea that I have to save myself for someone else. And now, it wasn't formulated as virginity as a gift for the wife at all, which I also obviously don't agree with. But this idea that virginity as a concept as well, I'm going to do a whole podcast on this topic, but virginity as this social construct is absolutely bonkers, because our sexuality is something that we can share with whoever we deem fit. It is our choice. It is not a gift for someone. Like, here you go. You get to experience my first time having a certain style of sex. It's wrong in so many ways. It is also very heteronormative. I think that when we hear the term virginity, and especially when it's seen in this heteronormative way of saving yourself for marriage and for that one person or whatever, they took my virginity, it's seen as very much through a penetrative sex lens of penis and vagina is the only sort of legitimate sex, which of course we know is incorrect. It's very invalidating for queer people who may not have or ever will have penis and vagina sex, because that's not the only type of sex, but virginity as a construct is definitely hyper-focused on that style of sex. You know, when people say, oh, I've done everything but real sex, and they sort of use these terms like, oh yeah, everything but like actual full sex. You get to decide and determine for yourself what sex means to you, and what we think of as foreplay in a heteronormative lens is often real, true, legitimate sex for other people. But again, that's a whole tangent. I could tangent time on that for an entire episode, and in fact, I will. But I want to just drive the point home that you don't owe your body to anybody else. If you're in a marriage, that doesn't automatically mean that you have to have sex with your partner all the time, or that is something that is expected. And sex is for everybody, regardless of your marital status. And again, I know that me saying these things sounds like, yeah, of course, but we have a lot of conditioning, a lot of messages that have been told to us again and again growing up. And a lot of the time we aren't aware of them until we start to do this work. And we think back on, oh yeah, I remember that time that, you know, I happened to go to church, or like I grew up in the church and, you know, someone said, don't you dare have sex before marriage, or like in a movie, I heard that, or something that stuck with you and has now impacted somehow the way that you show up sexually in your own life. Okay, I'm going to leave it there because I could go on for a very long time about all these different questions and conditioning, but I really want to invite you to really get still with yourself and go through this process of self-inquiry. Now, of course, I guide you through this process in depth in embodied in the first module on self-inquiry and deconditioning. If you're not a student of mine yet, that is totally fine. I will be opening up Embodied again towards the end of the year, and you can check out the show notes for the waitlist. So I highly recommend you joining that so that you can hear about when that's launching again. We're currently within our current live series, so the enrollments are closed right now, but it will be opening up again later. And I'd love for you to join us because it's a really, really transformative journey, and it's so much fun guiding my students through this work towards feeling totally embodied in their sexuality, prioritizing their pleasure and feeling proud of their femininity and their connection with their bodies. So thank you so much for listening today. And I really hope that this episode has sparked a few things, a few thoughts for you. Highly recommend you chatting these out with your friends, with your partner, with your family, and just get curious. The final step is to allow yourself permission to let those stories go and to rewrite them. So if you notice that there's a story in your head saying you're gross for masturbating, for example, I want you to flip that and say, self-pleasure is a form of self-care and I deserve to feel deep pleasure, and really, really affirming that this is safe and good and healthy. Okay, thank you for listening. Love you all, appreciate you all, and until next time, stay sensual. Before you head off to listen to another episode, I want to tell you about my 6-week course called Embodied. I have had so many people asking me to teach more online because you're all missing out on my in-person workshops. So I've got you. Embodied is an online experience which will help you to drop into your most sensual self. Through video lessons, curated exercises, workbooks, and guided meditations, along with weekly live group coaching sessions with me, we'll explore how to truly feel embodied from the inside out. Each week, we'll dive into a new topic to help you connect deeper with yourself, your pleasure, and your loved ones. We'll explore themes such as self-inquiry and deconditioning, the energetics of feminine and masculine polarity, menstrual cycle awareness, self-intimacy and self-pleasure, sex and orgasm, of course, and relationships and communication. This course is an intensive exploration in my favorite topics to teach and to help you unlock your inner sensualista. Waitlist students will receive bonus content plus priority enrollment. To get yourself on the waitlist, head to thesensualityacademy.com/embodied-waitlist or simply find the link in the episode description and show notes. I cannot wait for you to join me. Let's get embodied.